Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, that's where we'll be heading this evening. Before we look at what we find there, though, I'd like to open in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just now come and we seek your blessing. We pray that you may minister to us, reveal to us what is needed for us, encourage us, challenge whatever our need may be. And we do pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a while, but last time when I preached on a Sunday night, we saw how Moses was told that he wasn't going to be allowed to go into the promised land, even though the children of Israel were right there on the boundary, ready to go in through Jordan, through the Jordan River. But the Lord took mercy upon him, and before he took him home, he allowed him to at least see the promised land. After he saw the promised land, then the Lord took his soul and buried his body. And then the Lord, if we were to read, chose Joshua to take his place to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Faithful Joshua. He had been the servant of Moses for over 40 years by this time. So that is an apprenticeship. Some people think, how long does it take to train, to be ready to lead in one way or another in the things of God? Well, some people think 3 or 4 years is too long. But we see here that many of the men of God had a very long apprenticeship, and Joshua was one of them. He was one of the two faithful spies who said to the people that we can take the land. And now he's just about to be able to prove that. I'm guessing he would have loved to have been able to talk to those 10 other spies and said, "See, I told you so. You were wrong and I was right." But they had passed away in the wilderness. But this was the time when Joshua was going to lead the children of Israel into that promised land. On Sunday nights, we're going to continue to follow the children of Israel and replace the leader with Joshua instead of Moses, and see some of the adventures that took place as they went into the land. And we understand that there are many blessings and there are many lessons for us as we see what took place. God tells us that these were recorded for our learning. And if you're wondering, if you can't remember, if you've never been told, the Old Testament promised land is a picture of the New Testament picture of a victorious Christian life, living for the Lord Jesus, doing what he wants, being what he wants, going where he wants, trusting the Lord for what he wants you to do in your life. That's what the picture is. That's the Christian's promised land. Some people live in Egypt, which is a picture of being unsaved, in bondage to sin. Some people choose to live in the wilderness, which is a picture of a saved person who doesn't want to do what God wants, doesn't trust that God will help them, and so they go about doing their own thing, and they live in a spiritual wilderness. Others choose to live in the promised land, and that is someone who is saved, and as I said, trusting Christ, fighting the battles, winning some, losing some, but enjoying God's help along the way. And then there are others who live in heaven, and that is when a believer dies and they go home to be with the Lord. And at this time, in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord is preparing his people and Joshua to go into the promised land. Their parents had an opportunity to do this 40 years earlier, and they didn't take it. And now it was their children's opportunity to do the very same thing as they could have done. And we read in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying." And what we read in verse 2 is what I have called, and this is our first point for this evening, God's commandment to Joshua. Very deep, all right? Very hard to understand. God's commandment to Joshua. We read there in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And there's a key little phrase here. The Lord tells Joshua to arise, get up from where you camped, and go. Go into that promised land. I want you to arise and go and take the land that he says that I have given you. You know, when I read that with my strange little brain, the first thing that I think of is those little slips that you get in the letterbox from the post office. And when you get one of them, you pull it out and you realize there's a little slip, and it's basically saying there's a package waiting for you at the post office for you to go and to enjoy. Now, if I get one of those slips, I can take it inside and I can look at it every day. But that doesn't mean I'm going to enjoy the contents of that package, despite the fact that it's there for me to enjoy. You know, I have a gift waiting, but it doesn't mean I'm enjoying it. I have the authority to take possession of it because I've got that little slip, and so I can go and take it, and because of the slip, I can get it. But it's not until I arise and go down to the post office, hand in the slip, that I get that thing and I get to enjoy it. If you're anything like me, if you get a slip like that and you think, oh, I wonder what that is, you're pretty keen to arise and go and get that thing, because it's usually something that you've ordered on eBay or something and you've been waiting for it. And God's word to Joshua and Israel was like one of these slips. They had been informed by God, here you go. I'm telling you, this is my word. The promised land is yours. All you have to do is arise and go and take it. 40 years earlier, their parents had been given the same slip. Yet they didn't arise and go. They didn't think God could do it. And so even though it was there waiting for them to take, it was theirs, they didn't enjoy it. And now this generation was about to have the same opportunity. All they needed to do, as God said, is arise and go. And you know, this leads me to think about us. I wonder how many slips that you have from God that have been unclaimed. Things that are yours for the taking, but you haven't actually taken possession of it because you haven't arisen and gone and did what God wants or taken possession of that thing. If you look into God's word, you'll find that there are plenty of slips, or we would call them promises, giving us the authority to take possession of many things. You know, there's that slip where God says you can have peace and rest. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there's a slip that the Lord has given. But how many of us have had that slip from God's word, but we're not enjoying the peace and the rest that God wants to give us, because we have consumed our minds with the what-ifs of our circumstances, or maybe the unknowns of the future. And so we can concentrate on that instead of concentrating on that understanding that we can have rest as we trust in God. So we don't ever enjoy the contents of the slip. There's a slip, you can have victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet too often we're like the past generation of Israelites. God says, I'll give you the victory. We don't believe we can. We convinced ourselves that the circumstances are too big for God to handle, and so we never enjoy the victory. We got the slip, but we don't enjoy the contents. We have that slip, I will direct your paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge me, and I acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Yet we don't go and acknowledge the Lord. We worry. We try and work it all out ourselves, and we don't go and seek God's wisdom and help in that. And because of that, we make mistakes and we don't have that rest because we don't acknowledge the Lord, and so we don't get to enjoy Him directing our paths. And there are many promises that are there for the taking, but we need to arise and go and do what He wants. You know, too many believers don't believe the slip, so they never collect it. No, I don't think that one's for me. Others, they just admire the slip. They love the promises, but they never actually enjoy the gift. They just sit there and look at the slip all the time. The promises that God have are beautiful, but that's not the best part. It's the coming to pass of the promises that are really good. Some people let the reminders build up, and you've had that with your slips. You get a reminder and a reminder, all right? And that's what a lot of people get. You get reminded so often how there's that promise of victory or promise of peace or promise of guidance, and you hear it and it builds up and builds up, but you never enjoy it. Others just lose the slip. They forget about that promise. Question: what has God told you in His Word that He wants you to have? It's yours for the taking. That's His promise to you, but He's still waiting for you to arise and go. Well, this is what the Lord told Joshua to do. This is yours, Joshua, yours and the people of Israel. Now arise and go. You know, thankfully, though, God didn't just pat him on the back and say, go, and now you're on your own. No, He also gave him plenty of ammunition as he went into that promised land, because there were going to be many battles to fight. But it's important to note the Lord didn't give him swords and spears and arrows and chariots. He gave him something even more powerful, and this is sort of leads on to what we've just been saying, and that is He gave him promises. Even more promises, not just that I've given you the land. He gave him other promises to help him in the battle. Joshua didn't need extra weapons. God was going to really do the fighting. He just needed to make sure that Joshua was willing to trust him and obey. And so God made some promises to Joshua, and He also gave him a strategy for how to have victory and enjoy the promised land. And it's the same for us. God wants us to fight our enemy. Our biggest enemy really is the flesh. And then I think the world and the devil sort of that one behind it all. And the Lord wants us to take that land of promise and enjoy this land that we live in this life that we have as we serve Him. And what did Jesus say? In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, just like Joshua, we don't get physical weapons either. He's given us promises to equip us so that we can fight and do what He wants us to do. And He has given us the same strategy in fighting as He gave Joshua, as we'll see at the end. But what are some of the promises that He gave Joshua? So we've looked at God's commandment to Joshua. Now let's look at God's promises to Joshua. And this is found in verses 3 to 5. The first thing is, the first promise was that every place the sole of your feet tread, I have given it to you. Let's read verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So, got your feet, you're walking, wherever you tread, that becomes yours. Now, there were limits to this promise, like there are limits to just about every promise that gives us. They couldn't just walk all over the world and then the world, all the world, becomes theirs. We see the boundaries in verse 4. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And so these are the boundaries. But within the boundaries, wherever the sole of their feet trod, God will give them that land. They will enjoy victory over whoever's in there. Now, the thing that we discover is, though, that as we go on, although the boundaries cover a lot of the land, the children of Israel didn't possess all of it. They trod and gained victory over most of the land, but there were some places they never went. There were some mountains they never trod and put their foot. There were some valleys they didn't go as well and take the possession. Now, we don't know why, either because they thought they had enough land, or they couldn't be bothered, or although they had that promise, they looked up there and thought, these people look scary up there, I don't think we'll bother about them. And so the enemy was still allowed to live, even in those areas, those boundaries that they were given, saying, it is yours for the taking, victory is yours if you're willing to tread and go there. And because they didn't walk over the whole lot and enjoy the victories there, these enemies became a problem to them. And you know, that parallel is exactly the same for us as well as Christians. The Lord has made promises, but at times we don't take Him at His word and arise and go, either because we think that we've grown enough in the Christian life. I don't think I need to become any more like Christ. We get tired of those battles, and so we don't fight anymore, or we convinced ourselves there are just little pockets in our life that we can't have victory over, and so they are left. And there are little areas in our life where God has said, it's yours for the taking, but we never take it, and those areas become our problems. I wonder if there's some area in your life that you know is ruled by the flesh or the world, maybe even the devil. You know it. And because you're not willing to go and arise and go and take possession and enjoy the victory because you've been convinced or you get lazy, whatever it may be, because of that, it causes you constant problems. Well, the Lord's given us the promise. It's up to us to take hold of what God said and enjoy it in full. And so that was one of the promises to Joshua. Wherever you tread in these areas, it can be yours. Secondly, the Lord said He would not forsake him. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Get that? That is a very clear promise that God made to Joshua. For all your life, I will never forsake you. Better get it right. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now you might think, well, that's amazing. It'd be great to have a promise like that. He must have just gone out and never cared anymore because he had that promise. But that's not true. Because we know in the life of Joshua, there were times when, despite the fact that he had that promise from God, the circumstances around him could have convinced him, and sometimes did convince him, that God had forsaken him. What about when they went up against Ai and they lost the battle? And he went and fell before the Lord and said, what's going on? The circumstances were telling him opposite to what God had promised. He said, you won't fail me or forsake me. Yet look what happened. And there were dark days. And this is the thing with even Joshua. There were times, probably far more than we realize, that he had to walk by faith instead of sight. He had the promise of God, yet the circumstances told him something opposite, and he had to walk by faith, trusting what God had said. I'm sure there are plenty of times he wondered, is God really keeping his promise? Yet we have the benefit of hindsight to see, no, God did keep his promise all the time. God was with him. He didn't fail him. And if you know your Bible, you've already thought of the New Testament parallel, where the Lord has told us in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the promise of our Savior. I will never leave you if you're one of my followers, if you're a believer in me. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. The reality is we have the same promise made to us as what Joshua had made to him. And God will take his promise to us just as seriously as he took the promise he made to Joshua. You know, I read a story of two men who were at church one day, and that's about all you can have at church. Anyway, right? Two men at church. One man said to the other, the Lord is here today. I can feel his presence. And the other man, maybe just a bit more wiser, he said to the man, he's with us whether we can feel his presence or not, because that's what he promised he would do. And you know, that is the reality. We can be confident that the Lord is always with us, in all kinds of circumstances, not because we feel his presence, but because he is faithful to his promises to us. His presence doesn't depend on our feelings, but it depends on his faithfulness, and we know that he is faithfulness. And that's nice to know. Imagine if God is only with us when we feel like he's with us. That's pretty scary, because a lot of the time he just doesn't feel like he's there. Sometimes it feels like his attention's on somebody else and he's forgot about us. He's more concerned about others and not me. But that's not the promise. And he made this promise to Joshua, and he makes it to us. And notice the Lord gives Joshua an extra encouragement in verse 5. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You know, that's a really big promise. You think of everything that Moses went through and how God was with him through all that. When he had to go up against Pharaoh, when it came to those the Red Sea and the armies against him, coming up against him at that time, when there were people even amongst the children of Israel that wanted to stone him at times, how there are those who are jealous of Moses and they wanted to be in charge and so they tried to undermine him, to those fierce nations like the Amalekites. God was with Moses throughout all these times, and Joshua saw it firsthand. And now God says, just like I was with Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. That would have been a blessing. And we have a similar blessing as well. You see, we can look at God's faithfulness to others as an example and reminders of how the Lord will be faithful to us as well. Because God has made it really clear in his word that he doesn't play favorites. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't say, I like this child more than this child. When we're the children of God, he loves us all equally. There's not the first child who's the most precious, or the youngest one gets a little bit more or whatever. No, God treats us all the same. And so when you see the faithfulness of God with somebody else, we can say, that is my father as well, and that encourages me of how he is faithful to me. And so as Joshua was able to look at Moses and see the faithfulness of God in his life, we can do the same with others. We have the same Heavenly Father. And we can find comfort in that. And so that was God's weapons. He gave him some promises, right? Wherever your feet go, you can have that land. It's given to you. And, you know, I'm never going to fail you. And I'm going to be with you just like Moses. But then he gives him the strategy. This is what you've got to do when you get in. And so this is the battle plan now. These are the weapons, the promises, and this is the strategy of how to go about getting victory. It's very important. Have a look at this, verse 7 to verse 9. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, there's some key things here, and I'm not going to spend a long time, but let me pluck out basically what God says here. He says, Joshua, this is the strategy. When it comes to your responsibility, I want you to meditate in my word day and night. I want you to consume yourself with my word so that you love me more than anything else. And you love me more than doing what's wrong, so you don't veer off to the right or the left, but you do exactly what I say. And because of that, you can't help but love me. You can't help but speak about me. You can't help but do what I want you to be doing. Joshua, you seek me first, and then I'll look after the rest. That's the strategy. Joshua, your responsibility is to spend time in my word and with me, and I'll transform you, and I will fight your battles. And so that was the battle plan. That was the strategy when he got into the promised land. And interestingly, it's the exact same thing that Jesus has told us, where he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things, the things of the world that we have need of, shall be added unto you. So things haven't changed for us. Things haven't changed for the people of God. If a Christian wants to enjoy the promised land for the believer and get out of the wilderness, then their responsibility is to meditate on the Lord and his word day and night. Spend so much time with God, thinking upon him, praying to him and seeking him, that you can't help but love him and you can't help but want to do what he wants. And I tell you, when I changed from being that rebel and I started to seek the Lord and I got into his word and I prayed, you know, I just couldn't help but want to do what God wanted me to do. Before then, I just wanted to do what I wanted. I had my own dreams and I didn't even consider the Lord. But I tell you, once I surrendered to him and sought his way and got into his word, all I ever wanted to do was what God wanted me to do. And he changed my heart, changed my desires, and he actually changed the complete direction of my life. And that's what he does. And when we start to spend time in God's word and we love him and seek him, that's when you'll see those walls start tumbling down and those giants fall in your life. And you will possess the land of promise for the believer. And you'll see God use you, and you'll enjoy his help and his blessings along the way. That's the strategy. And how did Joshua respond? Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Joshua did what God wanted. Gathered the people, told them what they were doing, and in 3 days they were going to arise and go. And that's exactly what they did. I wonder, are you someone who's in Egypt and you've chosen to live there? You're unsaved. Are you someone that's in the wilderness? No, I don't want to seek God like that. I'm a Christian, but I'm just doing what I want. Or are you in the promised land? I know you're not in heaven, all right? I know you're not there if you're listening to this, all right? But you're in one of those three places. I trust you'll see that the promised land is the best place. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Pray that you'll show us and help us that we may abide in you. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.